We have seen in the news from time to time that the desecration of the Quran, the holy scripture of Islam, can cause violent reactions. Mistreatment of the Islamic holy book is considered by many Muslims to be blasphemy. Many governments impose criminal penalties for desecration of the Quran, including the penalty of death in some Islamic countries. Some Muslims practice ritual washing before handling the Quran to demonstrate their respect for their holy book. Some political figures in the United States and in other countries have burned copies of the Quran as a sign of their antipathy for Islam. Recently, August 26, 2025, a Texas politician, Valentina Gomez, is reported to have burned a Quran and said, "I will end Islam in Texas, so help me God." As Christians, we naturally feel a sense of reverence when we handle and read our holy scriptures. However, when we call them holy, we do not mean that the object is an object of worship. We mean that the book is set apart from other books and that God uses it through the Holy Spirit to point us to right relationship with God and with each other. While our holy scriptures lift up the Word of God as being crucially important, we need to recognize that the key element is God. We live in a materialistic culture that wants to cling to material things. As such, we can get to the point that we want to worship the book rather than the source of the Word. Whenever we substitute a material object for God, we stray into idolatry. The tendency to make the Bible our God has been called bibliolatry. The Bible is not our God. The Bible is God's self-revelation to us, mediated to us through the Holy Spirit, who inspired the writers, and who also inspires and illumines us. The two scriptures we read today point to the value of the Bible in our Christian walk. Our first scripture is from the book of Psalms. Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem celebrating the gift of Scripture. John Calvin famously begins his Psalms commentary with this opener: "The book of Psalms is an anatomy of all parts of the soul." Or put another way, as Stevie Wonder entitled one of his albums, "They're songs in the key of life." The Psalms are just that, songs in the key of life. Real life experiences of real people who have real stories which they wrestle with in light of their understanding of God. Walter Brueggemann, a biblical scholar who taught at Columbia Presbyterian Theological Seminary, said this: "The Psalms recognize that this is not a God who can be reduced to the certitudes of one-dimensional fundamentalism, nor is this a God who can be made safe and non-interventionist, as some progressives prefer. This is a God who is an active agent, endlessly elusive, on occasion available, celebrated frequently as faithful and steadfast, but known as well to be unfaithful, not steadfast, fickle, absent, and neglectful. This is a God who can do all things. So we hope for this God as an ally in the daily contest of our lives. But sometimes the same character is remote and indifferent. And so Israel and we may be relentless toward God. End quote. When we look to the Psalms, we acknowledge a God-occupied world and struggle with what that means. Our second scripture today is a selection from a letter purportedly from Paul to his protege, Timothy. Paul is addressing leaders of the church who are struggling with the role of the Old Testament scriptures to the lives of new Christians, many of whom were never Jews. Paul says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." End quote. Paul points to the importance of Scripture because it points to God. In the Psalms and throughout the Bible, we meet real people who struggle with their understanding of God in real circumstances. As real people who struggle with real circumstances in our day and age, we seek to know the same God. We struggle to be faithful to the same God who covenants with us, the same God as covenanted with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. We struggle to be faithful in times of joy and strength and new life and deliverance and gratitude. We struggle to be faithful in times of grief and weakness and death and limitation and doubt. The Word of God is our GPS, our global positioning satellite guidance system. The Bible is not God, but leads us to where God would have us to go. The Bible, the Word of God, is described in Psalm 119, is that which we treasure in our hearts in order that we might not sin against God. The Word of God is the seed that we plant in the garden of our heart that we might bear fruit. John Calvin and Martin Luther both spoke of important uses of the law. And as you recall, the Hebrews translated the word Torah, a word often used to refer to the first five books of the Bible, as the law. Consequently, it's helpful to think of the uses of the law in terms of thinking about uses of Scripture. There's a list of P words that help me remember these uses of the law in Scripture. And please excuse these long words. I will define them. The first is pedagogical. This refers to teaching. Most literally, it refers to teaching children. In ethics, rule following is seen as a low level of ethical agency. What is important is to internalize the rules so that we know the spirit of the law. We begin by teaching and learning the rules. We then learn the reason for the rules. We then act out not strictly for the sake of avoiding punishment for the violation of the rules, but also in the spirit of the reason for the rules. Jesus spoke of this when he said, "I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." He was also making this point when he said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment." End quote. In other words, one important use of the Torah, the Holy Scriptures, is teaching Christian values, not just rule following. A second P word is political. In the sense of pure rules or law, it means it helps us to have guidelines whereby we can successfully live together. This can be as basic as stop signs, which keep us from running into each other. Particularly for those who are not ethically mature, clear rules are necessary to keep bad actors in line. In terms of Scripture, it is the guidelines or principles and prohibitions, two more P words, that guide us in not only loving God, but also in loving neighbor, whom God also loves. Learning and following Scripture guides us in the root meaning of the word political. That is the way God would have us live with each other. Another P word is paraenetic. Simply stated, that means encouraging. An encouraging word. As an old song, when I hear that, this song comes into my head. "Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where never is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day." Rather than a discouraging word, this use of Scripture is an encouraging word. Many of us go to the Bible to remind ourselves of the love and care of God when we need encouragement. A favorite of mine and many people's is the 23rd Psalm, which reminds us that God cares for us like a shepherd cares for sheep. Another scriptural P word is promise. Our Christian hope is based on God's promise to be with us and for us. We know that God loves us and our end is in God's loving hands. Our biblical faith is based on trusting God and reflected in God's self-revelation to us in Scripture. Our faith is not in a paper book. It's in an omnipresent, omnibenevolent, omniscient, and omnipotent God who loves us and guides us through God's word most clearly reflected in the person of Jesus Christ. So as Paul encourages Timothy, look to the Scripture to learn, to teach, to be encouraged, and then to go and do good. Amen. Having heard the word of God read,